Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And this week, we're celebrating the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. It was yesterday was the day, but I want to stretch it out for the week and lay hold of some of the most beautiful passages from, at least from my perspective, beautiful passages from Peter and Paul, and just enjoy them this week, to be built up by them, and to just kind of gaze into their mind, their heart, and be astounded by the extraordinary level of transformation that happened to both these men, and the glorious vision, the renewed mind that they have, and what God the Father did in them, and through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, we touch the transformation that not only worked in their lives, but the power that went forth from their preaching, which was anointed by the Holy Spirit, touched the minds of others. And we'll see in these letters, today I'm going to read from Peter. Yesterday I read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, the apostolic prayer, where Paul's heartfelt prayer for the community there, who he had never met. He had just heard about them and their faith, and he was amazed by what was going on. But that apostolic prayer captured his pastoral heart and his apostolic passion, that they would not only come to these early stages of faith and love, but that he wanted them to know that there was so much more. If they opened their hearts and they said yes, the Holy Spirit would take them deeper. And he said, he prayed, and he could just feel the depth of his prayer that the eyes of their hearts, and remember, this living word, the word of God, the Bible is alive today. And the same prayer he prayed for the Ephesians, he prays for you and for me. That your heart, the eyes of your heart, this seeing part of the core of your being would come alive. And you would know that the eyes of your hearts would be enlightened. You'd be coming into transforming knowledge. Inspiration coming from the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, what did he want you to see in particular? The hope to which you're called. Tell me we don't need more hope today. I mean, this is hope that changes everything. No matter what the circumstance in our life, it gives us a new power. And Paul knows they have to go deeper. And the Holy Spirit has more for them because they're now living in trial, just like he did. No, the hope to which you're called, the glorious inheritance in the saints, all that God has given to the brethren who've gone before us, and now the graces are at work in them. They're dying, living and dying in the Lord, knowing the inheritance that's set before us and the glorious power that's at work in us who believe, the dynamite, dunamis, the Greek word, the power that's in us. Do you realize there's a power at work in you that's stronger than death itself? Do you really believe that you can have a life-transforming hope that's rooted in a confidence that what Paul is saying, what Jesus has worked in Paul, and we're going to hear from Peter today, is happening in you as a believer? There's more. And the temptation for us is to plateau, kind of to settle, to get into kind of a comfortable groove and not go to the depths that Paul and Peter are witnessing in the communities that they either reached out to themselves, that they led and built and preached and raised up themselves, or apostles of theirs that they sent out. Small A went out and proclaimed the gospel and began to raise up living Christian communities at the heart of which are men and women who know they've been transformed. Here's Peter today in for the First Peter, his first letter, verses 3-9, we'll touch on. I'll read it to you. First says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, exclamation point. So Peter's rejoicing. He said, by his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, may redound to the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this particular set of verses right here. For instance, without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with an unutterable and exalted joy. As the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. Peter is marveling in the work that the gospel has done in this community. A community, these communities in Asia Minor, the very opening of the letter, those who are dispersed in Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. It's now, you come modern day Turkey. They've been destined by God. He said they've been sanctified. They've been chosen. He knows that because he said they've been sprinkled by his blood. They've been united to Jesus in baptism. And the power of God laid hold of them through the formation they received and the grace they received in baptism and the new life that they're sharing with others. And so Peter's speaking, friends, about a living hope, which is the heart of the Christian life. If you're living on a daily basis and what mostly characterizes your life is fear, anxiety, maybe depression, hopelessness, sadness, you're being robbed of your inheritance. Because Peter is rejoicing here in a community that's living through difficulties and trials. These people are being marginalized. They've got no power, small little Christian communities in a gigantic Roman Empire, pagan empire. They're stuck in a situation in which the emperor was to be recognized as a god. I think something like Dominus et Deus Muster, recognizing, burning incense, saying, yes, he's something who he's not. And these early Christians were put in a difficult situation, and some of them died because they said, look, we want to be good citizens, but I know Caesar's not God. I know the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. All power in heaven and earth belongs to him. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, not Caesar. Caesar's going to die. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he lives and reigns forever, and he's alive in me. That's what these young believers, really, some of them. I don't mean just young in age, but these are new Christian communities. And Peter declares with great joy that God, he knows that God the Father and the Lord Jesus has been at work at them, in them. And he said, his mercy has come upon them because they've been born anew. They're born again. Hey, as a Catholic, you can say that. Don't ever forget that. You can say, I'm born again. That's a fact. You're born again by water and the Spirit. You became a child of God. You're a new creation. The biggest thing happening in your life is what the Holy Spirit is doing in you now that you're a temple of the living God. And you've been born into something, Peter is saying here. Not just faith statement that you made, and now you're just going to grind it out. You're going to will it out. You're going to walk it out the best you can. No, you're living now, according to Peter, something entirely new has happened to you. And it's the Holy Spirit present in you, giving birth to realities that will empower you to live a new way of life. You're born anew to a living hope. Where did that come from? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's alive. And you know he's alive because the Holy Spirit has given you the grace to believe it and you have confidence. So you're born anew into the new reality, Jesus Christ risen into the kingdom. And he goes on to say you've been given an inheritance. Jesus is the firstborn son. Jesus inherits the entire kingdom, the cosmos, everything that is, everything that we can see and all the things we can't see, multitudes of angels in the kingdom. He's the firstborn. And we now have been united to the firstborn. We're sharing in the generosity of God, the generosity of our Lord, people like you and me. He wants us not just to come to a safe place after we die, but to inherit with him the kingdom of God. And he describes it. Peter knows for sure. He's preaching with conviction in this letter to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It's imperishable. It will not decay. It will not die. It cannot be destroyed. Everything on this earth, I don't care how big it is, how many buildings, we see what technology can do these days. You see the huge buildings in China and the Middle East and all the things that can be created and the best man can do. It's all passing away. The armies, the technology, it's all going to pass away. What will never pass away, will never decay, is the kingdom of God. Even our bodies are weakening. Our wealth disappears. Our institutions collapse. Kingdoms end. But not the kingdom of God, and not those who die in the Lord. What is sown perishable is raised imperishable. You were sown, you died in baptism, and you came alive in Christ. And it goes on to say, not only is it imperishable, but it's undefiled. It's unstained, it's uncorrupted, it's morally pure. It wins the battle in us, friends, over our pride, our corruption, our affection for sin. That's what ages, that's what destroys, is the power of sin, but it no longer has power over us. And it's unfading. Tell me, I mean, I'm 67, and we fade as we get older. But the kingdom of God, it never fades. It never loses its beauty. It never loses its vitality. It never loses its fullness. So Peter's using words the best he can under the help of the Holy Spirit, the power that's now at work in which we can hope. Because this is a hope that death itself cannot take away. Jesus conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered time. He's in eternity. And that's where he wants to take us. And all of this gift, Peter is saying, is guarded through faith for a salvation that will be fully revealed in the last time when the king comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And then, of course, Peter starts talking about the mystery of the suffering. You're suffering various trials. But even these trials, which are meant not for good in your life, but for bad by those who are coming after you, these very trials, said these are a slight momentary affliction. Like Paul would even say, he said, these things will purify. It's like gold. It purifies our faith, our hope, and our love, because we fully entrust ourselves to the Lord. And like Peter in the apostles, persecution, rejection, grief, hardship, all of it, they endured it. And God purified them in it. It's not meaningless, the suffering. It's full of meaning. And finally, Peter says, and he marvels at this, without having, even though you're suffering, and without ever having seen him, you love him, and you're filled with unutterable and exalted joy. Friends, that's our inheritance. Where are you at today? Where is your mind? Where is your heart? Where is your emotions? Let's lay hold of our inheritance, because it's here for all of us. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.